Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop, where we discuss the news from Washington, D.C., that the government and its lapdog supporters in the media don't want you to know about. I'm your host, Mark Levine, and I'm excited to have you here on my very first show. I've been working as a lawyer in Congress, and I've been amazed at how much information we have inside the Beltway of Washington that is never communicated to the public. And that's why I'm here giving you the inside scoop. Topic today, Homeland Security. We're going to discuss what the government should have known about September 11th and could have done to stop it. We're going to talk about the threat that Saddam Hussein posed or didn't pose to Americans. And we're going to talk about the types of attacks terrorists are planning today on American soil and why the Bush administration, despite all its rhetoric, is doing so little to stop them. Now, this is a call-in show, and I want you to call in whether you agree or disagree. In fact, I particularly want those who disagree. With each Inside Scoop, we have Challenge the Caller questions. So I really want callers who disagree with me to come on and answer one of these questions. I defy any caller who supports the Bush administration to answer one of these two. Number one, why is President Bush working so hard to fight an investigation as to what happened with our intelligence before September 11th, and what happened with our intelligence before the war in Iraq? Number two, why is the Bush administration working so hard to fight Homeland Security funding? So those are the two Challenge the Caller questions. You can dial locally 703-777-1200, or if you're listening on the web at IBM, you can call toll-free 877-57-SCOOP. That's 877-57-SCOOP. We're going to go through these issues, then I'll take your calls, and we'll end the hour with Match the Metaphor on this, the Inside Scoop. So we begin in 1999, December 31st. I don't know if you remember that time. I know I do. I remember watching as the different nations celebrated the beginning of the new millennium. And we went, we started in the East with Japan, and then they went across Asia. They showed London and Paris and some islands, New York, Washington, L.A. It was a very peaceful time, if you remember, all the fireworks. What we didn't know now, excuse me, what we didn't know then, but what we know now, is that at that very time, Al-Qaeda was planning between 5 and 15 terrorist attacks against Americans. Two of them, Clinton managed to foil. The others apparently were never tried. One was a guy coming in across the Idaho border from Canada. The other was coming in to Vermont. And there was a particularly vicious attack planned on LAX, the Los Angeles International Airport. So by the time Clinton was leaving office, they were well aware what was going on and that Al-Qaeda was a particular danger. One of the things Clinton did is he set up a plan to stop Al-Qaeda. And this is something that, frankly, hasn't been discussed much in the media, and that's why I'm bringing it to you on the Inside Scoop. The plan was to take special forces into Afghanistan and to aid the Northern Alliance, to stop the Taliban, which of course was Al-Qaeda's protectors, and to fund money to the Northern Alliance and to cut off the financial funding of Al-Qaeda. In fact, Sandy Berger had a special meeting with Condoleezza Rice in which he told her that he believes the Bush administration will spend more time on terrorism generally and on Al-Qaeda specifically than any other subject. What happened after that? The Bush administration shelved the plan. They wouldn't consider it. I don't know whether that's because it came from Clinton or because they just didn't think it was a good idea. But we know that the plan wasn't even brought to the fore till about a week before September 11th. We also know now, though many didn't focus on it then, that in May 2001, the Bush administration gave $43 million to the Taliban. That's right, Al-Qaeda's protectors. Why would the Bush administration do that? Well, it was done to fight the war on opium. The Bush administration considered the drug trade the most important thing to focus on then. And there was also a pipeline that was being considered, an oil pipeline through Afghanistan. In the summer of that year, we got more and more indications that something was going wrong on September 11th. Excuse me, that something was going to go wrong. They didn't know the date at the time. And we had a pretty intrepid FBI agent by the name of Colleen Rowley, who discovered that a number of Al-Qaeda operatives were were coming into America and taking training at our flight schools. She reported it to her higher-ups at the FBI, but they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't take it to higher officials. And we now know, though we didn't know then, that we actually had material coming through our intelligence in Arabic translation the day before September 11th, warning that something major was going to happen the next day. Those documents were never translated. Why is that? Well, we just didn't have enough Arabic translators. And I can tell you, because I worked in Congress that day, that on the morning of September 11th, there was a hearing on a Democratic proposal. The Democratic proposal was to give more money to counterterrorism efforts. The Republicans opposed that because they felt the money should go to missile defense. So we've had problems before September 11th with intelligence and national security, and now we have problems now. We have problems with our homeland security. We have chemical plants that are unprotected. We have nuclear plants here and abroad that are not protected. In fact, I don't know whether Iraq had nuclear weapons. I suspect they didn't. In fact, all indication is that they didn't. But we do know that in the former Soviet Union, there are nukes for sale. That's right, nuclear warheads that scientists in the former Soviet Union want to sell to the highest bidder. The Democrats have proposed $3 billion. That would be 1/100th of what George Bush calls his itty-bitty tax cut. He thinks it's too small. But George Bush would not approve the $3 billion to buy up nukes abroad. So this is one of the questions I have for you, listeners. Where do you think the money is best spent? Do you think that $3 billion should be spent on buying up loose nukes? Or do you think that, really, that 1/100th of your tax cut is more important? We've got ports that are in trouble. We've got cargo problems. For example, Ed Markey of Massachusetts has pointed out that 23% of America's cargo goes on regular passenger planes. That's right, folks. When they ask you to take your shoes off and they check your luggage, what you don't know is that there are bags underneath your plane and boxes and cargo that don't get checked at all. Now, we Democrats raised this in Congress, and we raised it with Tom Ridge. And Tom Ridge, after avoiding the question a few times, finally admitted this was a severe deficiency. That's his words, a deficiency, and he would look into it. But again, the Bush administration has failed to support Ed Markey's legislation to ask us to check for cargo. So again, why isn't the Bush administration spending this money? It goes to our police, to our firefighters. You know, on September 11th, in the World Trade Center, when the first one crashed and the second one was still standing, there were firefighters there who did not know the first center had crashed. They were there trying to save lives, not knowing that their time was very limited. And believe it or not, we didn't have adequate communication equipment to let the firefighters in the Second World Trade Center know that they had better get out to save their lives. Now, as we all know, hundreds of firefighters died that day. And one of the things that, again, the Democrats have tried to do in Congress is to provide more money for Homeland Security, including specifically $3.5 billion to firefighters, to police, to improve communication systems. After all, it's these people that are going to protect us if, God forbid, a terrorist attack occurs. But the Bush administration approved less than a quarter of this money. And on nuclear weapons, again, you got to think, if they can drive our plane, into the World Trade Center, they can drive one of our trucks into a nuclear plant, or something worse. The Secretary Abraham, no liberal there, Secretary of Energy, proposed $379 million, that's about 1/1000th of George Bush's itty-bitty tax cut, to protect our nuclear plants. And George Bush said only 7%. Only 7% of that funding would be there. So again, these are my questions. Why is the Bush administration fighting so hard to prevent investigations into our intelligence? And number two, why is it spending so little on Homeland Security? Hopefully we'll get some answers to those questions back after this.
a message about Anderson Windows and Patio Doors from J.T. Hurst, where customer service comes first. If you suffered through the last few months with leaky, drafty windows or patio doors, now is the time to replace them, and Anderson is the brand to choose. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors give you beautiful, natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. It's no wonder professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson more than any other brand. Plus, the staff at J.T. Hurst can give you some great tips on installation should you decide to do it yourself. Or they can recommend a professional contractor to do the job for you. See the full line of Anderson products at J.T. Hurst & Company on Catoctin Circle in Leesburg. J.T. Hurst, where customer service comes first. Anderson Windows, long live the home.
Here we are at the beginning of the 21st century, a time of rapid change in technology. At NOVEC, Northern Virginia Electric Cooperative, we spend a good part of our day using the latest technologies to provide our customers with the most reliable electric service possible. Simply put, when you hit the switch, the light comes on, the toaster toasts, the oven cooks, and the computer announces, you've got mail. The rest of our day is spent using slightly older business methods. For more than 60 years, we've dedicated ourselves to making our communities better places to live and work, lending our time, resources, and support to organizations that make real differences in people's lives, embracing the future while holding on to our heritage. Some things are meant to change. Some things are not. We're NOVEC, locally based and member-owned. For a list of customer services, answers to your questions, and even employment opportunities, visit our website at www.novec.com. NOVEC. I got the power to move ya.
We're back on the air with the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, and we have a call. David from Hagerstown, you have a question or comment?
Hello, Mark?
Yes.
Oh, you can hear me. Okay.
You're on the air, David. What can I do for you?
Well, Mark, you called and asked for people especially who disagree, and if that's what you want, I certainly am that.
Okay. Tell me why you disagree with me.
Well, I actually work in the areas that you are talking about tonight. That's my job, 9 to 5, in the intelligence community. And I asked your call screener if you were a conservative who was doing this tongue-in-cheek or a liberal who really believed this, and he said, you really believe this, you are a liberal, and you believe the country would be better with the Democrats at the helm of the national defense.
Well, absolutely. Let me ask you, why isn't it that Condoleezza Rice listened to Sandy Berger and put in place the Clinton plan to stop the terrorists?
Well, there's several major misconceptions here that I think you're giving partial information on. One, there's a plethora of intelligence information that comes in every day.
That's true.
Through the State Department.
Right.
And the problem that we have is ascertaining what of these millions of things need to be taken credibly and seriously and how
okay.
to interlink them.
But we have a very specific Clinton plan here. Sandy Berger only had one personal meeting with Condoleezza Rice. There were a number of different briefing sessions, but he only met once with her, and specifically it was this plan to deal with Al-Qaeda. Now, you know, maybe you can say with hindsight that Bush administration had no idea this attack was going to occur, which I agree with you, and so they just didn't realize it to the same extent that the Clinton administration did. And, you know, they just made a mistake, and I don't know if that's what you're saying.
Well, to be fair, how many other similar meetings were held with other top-level officials that addressed other concerns?
Well, actually, this was the only meeting. By the way, my source for this, in case anyone wants to know, is a Time magazine article, August 12, 2002.
I have no doubt that the meeting occurred, but what I'm trying to say is that the Democrats under Clinton have dramatically cut defense and the intelligence community, particularly in Maryland. And if you were somebody who was applying for a job at NSA, for instance, over the last 8 years, you probably got the standard form letter saying they're not hiring and they're not going to be hiring.
Well, let me ask you this,
now,
David.
It's really troubling for someone to come along at like the Democrats now and say they want to sell flood insurance after the rain.
Okay, but let me ask you, David, let me ask you a question, if I may.
They're before the problem,
okay.
Not the day after.
Let me ask you this. Do we need flood insurance now? Do you agree that we should spend more money on Homeland Security now?
Well, here's the problem. There's a difference between motion and progress. Just spending money on schools doesn't mean that we get better students. Now, I understand the Democrats would like to pour more money into education.
No, but I'm asking you a very specific question, David. What about money for Homeland Security? Let me give you some very specific things, you support them or not, all right?
It'd go right to me, because that's what I do.
Terrific.
But the bottom line is...
For example, you would support the Democrats' proposal that Bush is against to spend $3 billion on buying up nukes in the former Soviet Union. Do you agree with that?
Well, no.
You don't agree with that. You think that...
No, I'm not... What I'm saying is I'm not talking about buying up nukes or putting more police on the street.
Do you support that or don't you?
No, I don't support either. What I support right now is figuring out, based on the intelligence that's coming in, what the best next dollar to spend is. And honestly, I don't think either of them know.
Well, actually, let's talk about this, specifically about the intelligence coming in. Because I was at a hearing recently with a Mr. Redman of the Homeland Security Administration. And the Homeland Security Administration, the Department of Homeland Security, as you recall, was an idea set up by Senator Lieberman. It was his idea. Bush resisted it for 8 months and then finally agreed to it. And believe it or not, at a hearing that occurred just 2 weeks ago, the Democrats asked Mr. Redman, hey, how many people are there in your Department of Homeland Security looking at a bioterrorism threat? He said they had one guy working on the issue. And the Democrats said, well, shouldn't you have more people looking at this? And he said, well, we don't have the office space. We have an administration that is starving Homeland Security. And one of the reasons they're doing it, is because they set up their own Homeland Security. It's called TTIC, the Terrorist Threat Integration Center. And the whole purpose of this is for the Bush administration to take the threat analysis that we all need and to take it outside of congressional oversight, to take it so that he can control his own intelligence, which I'm afraid is some of the same kind of stuff we've seen with the weapons of mass destruction.
It's easy for me to respond to, because this is what I do. But I feel like I got a runaway train here. To begin with, the people in Washington are not the people. They are the administrators. They are not the ones from whom the core intelligence is coming. Deep operatives in countries that are friendly to us or partly friendly to us are the ones who produce the intelligence. We need people over there.
David,
over there is where the information starts.
I agree with you.
By the time it gets here, okay, the number of administrators adjudicate what the NSA and the intelligence organizations that Clinton stripped evaluate based on what the deep operatives report from the other countries.
All right, I'm going to answer your question, and then I'm going to have to take another call, David. Let me respond to you, okay? I agree, we need more operatives on the ground abroad, and I agree we need more here. But if you look at the specific critique of what happened on September 11th, they will tell you it wasn't for lack of information coming in. We had plenty of information coming in. As you said originally, we had lots of people, lots of operatives, lots of intelligence coming in. The question was, who would connect the dots? And we didn't have enough people in the analysis to determine who would connect the dots. Well, that's our problem in Homeland Security today. We've got all this information coming in, but no one's connecting the dots. We've got calling rallies out in the field trying to send the information, and at the same time we have an administration that wants to punish whistleblowers like Colleen Rally if they leak information or even if they report information that they're not supposed to report. So the question is not just do we have operatives bringing the information in, but do we have analysts inside the Department of Homeland Security subject to congressional oversight that can examine the issue. All right, I'm going to take another call here. This is Clint in Chicago. Welcome, Clint.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Yes.
Yeah, hey, first of all, great show.
Thank you.
Glad to hear a voice like yours on the air. I'm not particularly ideological one way or the other, but I like to hear as many voices as I can, so I appreciate you being here.
And I appreciate your call. What can I do for you?
Well, your first question was about why the Bush administration is resisting an inquiry into the intelligence of September 11th and why it wasn't acted on and all that stuff. I guess what I'm wondering is, couldn't there just be some very simple political reason that they don't want to risk looking foolish, they don't want to risk giving ammunition to the Democrats coming into the next election? Could that be it? Could it be nothing more insidious than that, which I guess you could just chalk up to business as usual?
Well, I'm afraid that probably is the case. But if you look at any other terrible event in American history, whether it be you know, Pearl Harbor, whether it be the assassination of Kennedy, whether it be the Iran-Contra affair, we have had independent commissions to study what went wrong. And I think it's really hard for anyone to argue that nothing went wrong on September 11th, particularly when you have a woman like Colleen Rowley. And actually, I'd like to read a little bit from her letter to the FBI. This is some of the sort of inside material that you can get when you work in Congress. And she was very upset by Director Mueller, who made a statement after her letter saying that if the FBI had only had advance warning of the attacks, that the FBI may have been able to take some action to prevent the tragedy. She was very upset at this, understandably, because she had given advance warning to the FBI. It's just that no one had taken it seriously. And then she complains after this that the official statement then changed. And the FBI said that even if they'd followed up on Colleen Rowley's lead, nothing would have changed, and such action certainly would have not prevented the terrorist attacks and resulting loss of life. Colleen Rowley writes, with all due respect, this statement is as bad as at the first. And she's surprised it's not already been pointed out to the media that it's at odds with the former statement. In other words, they did have the information, but they didn't connect the dots. And it seems to me that that's true for September 11th. But then when we get to these weapons of mass destruction, things get even more scary, if you will, because we have evidence that the CIA put out a report in 2002 saying, quite frankly, Iraq was not a threat, that there was no evidence that it had nuclear weapons, and there was little evidence that it had biological or chemical weapons in any way that could hurt Americans, and in fact, that the CIA report concluded that Iraq would be very unlikely to use these weapons unless attacked by America, and that it didn't even know that it had them. What's interesting is that the Bush administration took this report, this classified report, and put it out in an unclassified version, where they completely changed the story. We have in the classified version all the doubts with the material, all the countervailing things that it really isn't that bad. But then in the unclassified version given to the American people, it said quite clearly that only the stuff that would be harmful to Iraq. And if you note, there's been a lot of reports, including a report today in the Washington Post, that intelligence officials felt very much put upon by Dick Cheney and others to give them the correct information. In other words, the information that they wanted to hear. Now, I've worked as a trial lawyer, and I know, as a lawyer, anytime you look at a case, there are points that help you and there are points that don't help you. And I wonder if in this case we might have had a president who made his case by using only the specific intelligence that he wanted to hear. Kind of like that old Wiz, the Wiz musical where they sing, "Don't bring me no bad news." I'm afraid we had a president saying, "Don't bring me no bad news." So why doesn't Bush want an investigation? Well, here's the scoop. Either the investigation will show that we have dramatic problems in our intelligence community, or it doesn't. If we have dramatic problems, shouldn't these people be fired? We had 3,000 Americans die on September 11th. We've got severe threats that I've been talking about to our homeland security now, and no one's been fired. Colleen Rowley's bosses have been promoted. So we have no one fired, and I would suggest that either the Bush administration is manipulating the evidence here, or it should be looked into. Either way, we've got to have an investigation. Either our intelligence is bad and our intelligence community needs to be changed, or maybe we have problems at the very top. Back after this.
Brunelli Home Accents in the Leesburg Corner Premium Outlet Mall. At Brunelli Home Accents, you can browse through a remarkable selection of unique designs, domestic and international, contemporary and traditional. Select a new dining room table by Masterworks, artwork from Artisan House, occasional and dining room tables by Butler Furniture, Italian sofas by FCM Divani, light fixtures, mirrors, and imported vases by Josefina, and of course settings for your table by Brunelli. Located at the Premium Corner Outlet Mall on Fort Evans Road, just off the bypass, Brunelli Home Accents has the designs to satisfy the most discriminating tastes. Stop by soon. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 9, Sundays 11 till 6. Phone 703-771-6900. Brunelli Home Accents.
Ah, there's nothing like home improvement projects.
Oh, yeah? What are you planning?
Something to make our skin softer, cleaning easier, laundry softer and brighter.
Uh-huh.
Something that can even lower our utility bills and keep our pipes from clogging.
Oh, really?
And something that'll make our drinking water taste better than ever.
You can do all that in one weekend?
I can do all that in one phone call. Hey, Culligan Man.
For over 65 years, families have been saying, hey, Culligan Man, when they need a trusted water expert. Your local Culligan Man can help you choose the system that's just right for your home. And he backs it with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Right now, get both the Culligan Water Softener and Drinking Water for one low price. Only $9.95 a month for the first 3 months. Enjoy Culligan Water for your entire home and our best offer ever. So trust the water experts. Just call today and say,
hey, Culligan Man.
Improving your water is easy. Call your local Culligan dealer in Dulles today. You can trust the water experts.
Dealer participation may vary. Visit Culligan.com for details. Expires August 31st.
Good evening. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We're taking your calls. Local number here is 703-777-1200. Or if you're listening on the web at www.wage.com at the IBN network, you can call 877-577-SCOOP. That's 877-SCOOP. We're talking today about Homeland Security, and we're talking about intelligence, what the government should have known before September 11th, and what they should know now. And I hope that some of you callers will focus on what they should know now, because we have severe problems with our Homeland Security, whether it be nuclear plants or chemical plants. Let me give you an example. You know, maybe it did take a rocket scientist. I don't think so. But maybe it did take someone very intelligent to figure out that the terrorists could do what they did. They could take our planes and hijack them and throw them into, you know, lead them into buildings. But it certainly doesn't take a rocket scientist today to think that somebody could rent a truck, maybe a Ryder truck, and do what Timothy McVeigh did. I mean, remember, he blew up the Oklahoma City government building. But if they took a truck and they rammed it into one of our chemical plants, there are some, and I won't name which, but there are some that could cause tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of casualties. And again, the Democrats had a plan to require chemical plants to make themselves hard targets, to protect themselves. Again, you know, we had so much worry that Iraq was somehow, and I'm not sure how, maybe one of you callers can tell me how, Iraq was somehow going to get a nuclear or chemical or biological weapon to America in a way that would harm America. But no one's talking about the fact that our chemical plants are unsafe, and that the Bush administration is vetoing Democratic efforts to improve the safety of our chemical plants, to prevent someone from driving a truck into them. Now, you know, again, they took our planes. They hit our World Trade Center. Is it that impossible a notion they could take a truck and hit a chemical plant? So, again, I challenge the callers, and I want those that disagree with me. Can anyone answer why Bush isn't investigating these so-called intelligence lapses? And number two, why isn't there more funding for Homeland Security? Why is Bush against that? Okay, we're going to take the call of Terry in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Terry. How are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. What's your question for us today?
Well, I'd like to know why you think that the media isn't reporting the things you're talking about. If these things are true, how come the media hadn't picked up on this and you're the only person saying it, or very few people must be saying it?
Well, I think that's a real good question, Terry. It is being reported in a few media sources, but not that many. In fact, there is a Washington Post article today. I'd planned this show long before, but it's always nice to see a front page article that says the same thing that I was planning to say. And it says, intelligence report casts doubt on Hussein al-Qaeda link. So we have in this front page Washington Post article, which you can get on the web, WashingtonPost.com, a specific article saying, in fact, that it describes the detail of the intelligence report. Again, the caller from Gaithersburg, Maryland, was talking about what the intelligence operatives are doing. And let me say, I think they're doing a good job. I think our problem is at the very top with the people who are looking at this evidence. But it says, and this was reported in the media, that the intelligence reports were that there were no ties, that the only tie between al-Qaeda and Iraq goes back to the early 1990s, and that this is what they kept repeating as being the real tie, but that Bush didn't admit that. But part of the problem is with our media today. You know, Michael Powell is the son of Colin Powell. He's the head of the Federal Communications Commission. Now, I don't think he got that job on merit. I think it helped that his father was Colin Powell. But what he's done, and this has also gotten a very small amount of media attention, is he's changed FCC regulations. It used to be, and in fact it's been for several decades, that one media outlet could only own 35% of any city's media. And then President Bush felt that was too small. And Michael Powell has changed the regulations to make it so that you could own up to 50%. In other words, you can have Rupert Murdoch own half of any station. And what we have is, you know, this Australian right-wing billionaire by the name of Rupert Murdoch who's buying up stations. That's one of the reasons, frankly, why I'm glad that Wage is inviting me here on one of the last independent radio stations in America to say these things. But we in Congress know them to be true, and you will find these in small articles that I'll be able to point you to. In fact, I'm setting up a website, radioinsidescoop.com. It's not set up quite yet, but it will list all these articles so you can see for yourself. Part of the reason is just, you know, we in Congress, we try to get these things on the air. We try to let people know what's going on. And the media is kind of lazy. I worked as a lawyer on the Hill for a number of years, and it's amazing, really. I mean, you have media, and they call in, and they want you to feed. They want you to feed them exactly what they want to hear. I'll give you a specific example of this. We had the issue of Arabic translators. We talked about the fact that there were very few Arabic translators before September 11th. And since September 11th, the Bush administration has been firing dozens of Arabic translators. Why? Because they're gay. And the Bush administration thinks it's more important to fire gay translators, because they shouldn't be in the military, according to this administration, rather than have people that could be reading intelligence documents that could save American lives. Now, we thought this was a very important story, and we tried to tell the media about this. But the media wasn't interested. No one else had reported it, so they didn't report it. It took 3 months of us telling the same story until finally it was reported in the Associated Press. Then, what happened? 73 articles came in the next week. So you find very much a pack media, where the media follows one right after the other. And they're kind of lazy. And then you have, you know, places like Fox News and Rupert Murdoch, where they've got a very special bias. You know, I think it's interesting that people criticized Bill Clinton for taking money from the Chinese government, and yet we have an Australian billionaire who's actively seeking to control all of our media. I think that most would agree that we need a diversity of media sources, and I'm pleased to see that even some conservatives, like William Safire, have agreed that we need more diverse media. Back with more after this.
You're gonna love our style. At Jenkins Nissan of Frederick, they speak the universal language of savings. And they've got a great deal for you, no matter what language you speak or what you're looking for. Right now, Jenkins is offering $1,500 cash back, plus 1.9% financing on Xterras, plus huge savings on 2003 Sentras. Get $1,500 cash back or 0.9% financing. And for a limited time only, choose from $3,000 cash back or $1,500 plus 0.9% financing on Sentra GXEs.
Hi, I'm Steve Latour, sales associate at Jenkins Nissan of Frederick. Stop in and see me today and test drive your new Nissan. At Jenkins Nissan, no matter what language you speak, we speak your language.
Hi, I'm Priscilla, sales associate at Jenkins. Hola, soy Priscilla, asistente de ventas en Jenkins Nissan de Frederick. Están bienvenidos a que maneje y pruebe tu nuevo Nissan. En Jenkins, no importa qué idioma hablas, nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
Jenkins Nissan of Frederick, at the corner of East and 9th Streets. Visit them online at frederick.com or jenkinsmotors.com. Subject to credit approval through NMAC.
Time. There never seems to be enough of it, and you spend so much time in your car, waiting at traffic lights, trapped in gridlock. Time wasted. Until now. The Atorganizer 9000 makes your traffic time productive time. Attaching securely to your dashboard, the Atorganizer 9000 gives you space for your laptop, PDA, cell phone, headphone, and MP3 player with built-in...
Hold on there, boss. There are a lot of ways to steal some productive time back from Loudoun County traffic, but the smartest way is to avoid the heaviest traffic altogether on the Dulles Greenway. You can drive from Leesburg to Dulles in about 15 minutes, 65 miles an hour the whole way. No traffic lights, no traffic hassles. And for less than your monthly cell phone bill, the Greenway may be the best investment you make every day. Oh yeah, and you can probably hit the snooze button and still get into the office early. The Dulles Greenway. Don't stress, just drive.
We're back here on the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, taking your calls locally at 703-777-1200. Or if you're listening on the web on the IBM network, you can dial 877-57-SCOOP. That's 877-57-SCOOP. We're talking about Homeland Security, specifically what the Bush administration should be doing to protect us and what they're not. One of the things I want to talk about is the Bush administration has decided to fire about 10,000 security screeners. You know all those new security screeners you have at the airport from the Transportation Security Administration that are checking your bags? Well, the Bush administration apparently thinks we have too many, and they want to cut some. At the same time, it's been pointed out at the Department of Homeland Security at congressional oversight hearings that we have people that go into the secure areas of our airports every day. The folks that work at the McDonald's there, at the Pizza Hut, you know the people. And it doesn't take that much to get a job there, and the criminal background checks are not complete. They can just go in and out of security at will. This question was raised to Tom Ridge, again on something the media hardly reported, and he didn't have an answer. He said, well, we'll have to look into that. There is an answer, and the answer is we have to provide more money for Homeland Security. And I don't understand why the American people are believing that this president cares about Homeland Security. He does talk a good game. He says he cares. But every time the question comes for money to protect us from Homeland Security, he wants to cut it. Now, we're not talking about a lot of money here. I know when you start talking $1 million, $1 billion, you know, it gets to be hard to figure out. But we're talking about less than a tenth of all George Bush spent on his itty-bitty tax cut. $350 billion George Bush thought was too small, a tax cut, but he won't spend a tenth of that on Homeland Security. So my question for you folks is, would you give up one-tenth of your tax cut to protect our nuclear plants, our chemical plants, to buy up nukes abroad, to protect our cargo, to give communications equipment to our police and firefighters? Or would you rather keep your one-tenth, knowing that most of it goes to people who earn, you know, over $300,000 anyway? We're also learning that our intelligence is not what it should be, or that our president is misstating our intelligence. For example, many of you know about Dick Cheney saying that Iraq had reconstituted nuclear weapons. Now, this was quite a severe charge. It may have been what caused a lot of people to support the war in Iraq. He said that Iraq had reconstituted nuclear weapons. And we had both, we had Condoleezza Rice and Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld claiming they had bulletproof evidence of ties between Saddam and Al-Qaeda. As we know now, from a front page Washington Post article today, those ties were not what the Bush administration put out. So I have a general question for you. And that is, do you think that presidents should be like lawyers, look at all the intelligence information, and just give the information that supports their case? Or do you think that they should tell all the story? What we're finding is that we have agents, intelligence agents, in the CIA, and they are saying that Dick Cheney put a lot of pressure on them and others to give only the information they wanted to hear. So what do you think about this? We got a caller. It's Steve from Chicago. Yes, Steve, you're on the air.
How are you?
Good morning. Good evening.
I just really wanted to question, you've been talking about Homeland Security and the cuts that are coming in security and other things like that. Do you really think this is such a big surprise or that the idea of setting up Homeland Security was just a publicity stunt by the Bush administration to support what they wanted to do in Iraq?
Well, Well, what's interesting about the Department of Homeland Security is actually it wasn't a Bush idea. The original idea came from Senator Lieberman. And Senator Lieberman felt that because the failure, as we were told after September 11th, although there's been no official investigation, since the failure was to connect the dots, to take the evidence that was brought in and to understand what really was going on, what the threat really was, Senator Lieberman's idea was to take all of these agencies, the FBI, the CIA, the defense intelligence agencies, into one place where you could have analysts look at it and see what's going on and analyze it. Of course, the Bush administration, and people forget this, it's amazing how you can sort of change history after the event, and I'm going to conclude with match the metaphor. We're going to talk about whether it's more like 1984 or The Matrix, but I'll get to that. But people forget the Bush administration opposed the Department of Homeland Security, fought very hard against it. For 8 months, we did not have a department because the Bush administration was against it. Then, when the administration learned that the public wanted such a department, it abruptly changed shift, but it had certain restrictions. The Bush administration wanted a Homeland Security department that had no protection for whistleblowers. Now, that's fancy language. Let me explain what that means. A whistleblower is someone in government that sees something going wrong, and someone who tells their boss, tells their superiors, hey, as Colleen Rowley did, guess what? We've got people from Al-Qaeda, and they're studying in flight schools, and they're learning how to fly American planes, and they don't care if we land or not. So she went to her superiors in the FBI, and they ignored her. And they basically told her, don't worry about it. Now, then what Colleen Rowley did is she went to the very head of the FBI and mentioned her problem, a severe problem, and was also ignored. Now, what a whistleblower is someone who ignores their boss when their boss says, don't worry about it, and brings it all the way up to the highest levels, as Colleen Rowley did. The Bush administration decided that they want to be able to punish whistleblowers like Colleen Rowley. They don't want people to talk to their boss's boss. They don't want people to bring to the administration evidence of a severe problem with Homeland Security. Well, the Democrats didn't agree. And before the election, you may remember this, there was this big fight over Homeland Security. The Democrats wanted labor protections. And one of these labor protections was the right to be a whistleblower, the right to be able to tell the authorities at the highest levels of something going on without being fired. And the Bush administration didn't want this, and there was a big fight over it, and that, of course, led to the elections. But a lot of this just isn't getting out. I think it's the Department of Homeland Security can be a very good department, but we already see the Bush administration trying to dismantle it. Why is it that this department set up purposely to bring all of these intelligence agencies together in one place to analyze the danger to Homeland Security? Why is it that the Bush administration has set up this separate, very secret new analyst group called TTIC, the Terrorist Threat Integration Center? Now, we in Congress know this exists, but I'll bet you've read very little of this in the media. They are setting up their separate intelligence analysis. Why are they doing this? Before I answer that, and I want to see if you can answer that, you should also know what happened before the war with Iraq. Now, we had the CIA saying that there were no serious threats from Iraq, that Iraq didn't have nuclear weapons, that there was a report that they were getting aluminum tubes in Nigeria, and the report was clearly forged. And, in fact, they brought all this to the Bush administration, and the Bush administration set up, again, a separate intelligence unit called the Defense Policy Board in the Pentagon. And the job of the Defense Policy Board was to give separate intelligence from the CIA. I'm not condemning the CIA here. I think they're giving accurate intelligence. What we have is at the highest levels, administration officials not listening to intelligence. Why? Well, they must have another agenda because they're not listening to the intelligence that is being put out. And with the aluminum tubes in Nigeria, it was embarrassing because the United Nations figured out it was a forgery. I mean, there was a reference to the Nigerian Constitution in 1999 that said it went back to 1965, where the Constitution was only made in 1999. It was a clear forgery. In fact, a lot of this information went to Colin Powell, and he called it bull crap. He didn't use the word crap, but I can't say what he used on the air. He knew the information was flawed, but these organizations set up by the Bush administration didn't give me no bad news, right? They gave only the information that Bush wanted to hear. And that's why I'd like to move on to our last segment called Match the Metaphor, because I wonder what metaphor, what similarity is there with the Bush administration today between two things that I'm very familiar with. One is George Orwell's 1984, and the other is the movie The Matrix. It seems to me, in 1984, and I've been rereading the book because of this administration, and in 1984, you have Winston, and Winston is not too fond of Big Brother, and he tries to write his own thoughts, but he's surrounded by a culture of everyone agreeing with Big Brother, whether it's right or wrong. And I'm afraid we have a lot of that pack mentality in the government today. We have even some doublethink. In 1984, if you notice, if you've read the book, it says that if there's a piece of history that you don't like, well, you just change the history. And we're already seeing that happen in Iraq. Why did we go to a war in Iraq? And again, those who agree with the president, please explain. Was it for weapons of mass destruction? Because that was what Bush sold us on. Was it to save us from dictators? Because there are plenty of dictators that are a lot worse than Saddam Hussein, bad guy though he is. Was it to stop a terrorist threat? Because Saudi Arabia, Syria, Iran all pose a greater terrorist threat to the United States than Iraq. What was the purpose of the war? And what we have is the Bush administration starting on one premise, it's the weapons of mass destruction, and now, oh, it was to stop this terrible dictator, Saddam Hussein. The other metaphor I'm looking at is The Matrix. Because, I don't know, maybe because I just saw the movie, but in The Matrix, of course, you have these machines, and they're controlling what we think. They're telling us what we think and what we should think. And it's very hard sometimes to think outside the Matrix. And when you have a government, as we do, where the president is of the same party as both houses of Congress, as 7 of the 9 Supreme Court justices, and you have a media where you have right-wing billionaires doing their best to control everything on the media and to all echo, you know, the president is a good man and we like him in his flight jumpsuit and all this patriotic fervor, to suggest that anyone who would question the president is unpatriotic, that's a very dangerous thought. And to me, it's sort of a kind of Matrix thinking. So I don't know. What do you think? 703-777-1200. We got a couple lines open here. Or 877-57-SCOOP. Which metaphor to you most accurately reflects this administration?
I was a liberal arts major in college.
I had never lived in another country. I didn't speak a second language.
What could I
offer the Peace Corps?
The answer surprised me. I served in South Africa teaching HIV/AIDS awareness. And together, my community and I brought electricity to our village.
Developing a computer training center in Armenia was one of the most challenging and most rewarding things I've ever done. Working with my students in Nicaragua was a great experience. We taught each other a lot about our countries and cultures.
This is the Peace Corps today.
Different people, different skills, one common goal. To better our world, one community at a time.
Now that I'm back home, I run a community service program.
And I'm in graduate school studying environmental science.
Redefine your world. Join the Peace Corps.
Apply now at peacecorps.gov.
We're back on the Inside Scoop. Just a few minutes left. What we want to do is try to figure out whether it's more like 1984 or The Matrix. And, you know, when you had The Matrix and you had the machines controlling everyone's thought, one of the things I was thinking was, you ever been in an audience and somebody stands up to give a standing ovation and you really don't feel like standing up, but hey, you know, everyone else is doing it. And sometimes you feel like you have to. I'm worried that a lot of people in America just aren't thinking about these issues. And when the president stands up and says he cares all about homeland security, people are thinking, oh, well, he really does. And that's why I want to tell you what we know in Congress, what we know who've worked here, that the president just isn't providing for the country like he should. See, that's the problem. We have lots of conservatives that are saying, you know, we love the president, and he's doing a great job, and he sure talks a good game, but what is he actually doing? That's the question. why is he vetoing and threatening to veto these bills? Why do we have no cargo screening at our airports? All right, we've got Steve in D.C. You're on the air.
Hi, Mark. Great show. Thanks. You asked the metaphor question. I think it's a lot more like the Matrix.
Yeah, why is that?
I think you've got all the media and stuff that's kind of got this right-wing influence like you're talking about, and you've got a lot of herd mentality, too, with news organizations sort of pursuing one another. But I had a question for you.
Yeah.
One of the liberal critiques of Bush is that he's, you know, not a very competent man, not all that bright, and I'm wondering whether you think he's sort of personally responsible for a lot of the clever obfuscation that you find, or whether you think it's some of his underlings.
That's
a
good.
A lot of this.
Well, that's a good question. I think actually Karl Rove, and actually there's a good book out called The President's Brain. It's a story about Karl Rove, and I think that he's doing a lot of what's going on here. In fact, John DiIulio, formerly of the president's faith-based office, has come out and said that it's all done for politics here, and Karl Rove is controlling the show. I also think that Dick Cheney has a lot to do with this. If you read all of the articles that are coming out about the conflicts between the accurate intelligence information coming out from the CIA and then the reports that were declassified that were not accurate, you find intelligence analysts complaining, and they're complaining about Dick Cheney. He would do things that really no vice president did before. He would actually walk in to the CIA's Langley headquarters and talk to the low-ranking analysts about what intelligence that they should put in their reports. In fact, one former CIA official said, quote, "That would freak people out. It's supposed to be an ivory tower, and that kind of pressure would be enormous on these young guys." So I don't know whether it's George Bush or not. I have to think that he has some idea of what's going on, but... You know, I don't know. My guess is it's Karl Rove that did the photo op on the plane, and it's probably Dick Cheney that's behind a lot of these things. You know, Dick Cheney has his former company, Halliburton, has done very well from the Bush administration. They got quite a nice program to fix Iraqi oil fields, and I got to tell you, that wasn't from competitive bidding. So Cheney has his own interests here, and I think he may be the one who's doing much of this. But I appreciate your question. That's all the time we have for the Inside Scoop. Tune in next week, Sunday at 8 p.m. And you can check in on the web, too, www.wage.com. Thank you. Call back next week.
AM 1200 WAGE, Leesburg and Loudoun County, is your sound choice for news.
CNN Radio News, I'm Donna Renee. The 18th U.S. death in Iraq since the end of the war has been reported. Our Chris Plant has more.
One U.S. soldier was killed and a second wounded in a rocket-propelled grenade attack in the town of Khan Azad, 12 miles south of the Iraqi capital of...